Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle! Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host that agreed to my wacky schedule. We've got the one and only Seth Vilo.
It me, the boy.
And we've got the man who isn't recording at awkward hours, Linian.
Yeah, this is like a reasonable time in the evening. I don't know what's wrong with y'all.
Actually, for you, yeah, absolutely. To be fair, I did mow my lawn, so, like, I got that done beforehand, and I'm only a little tired.
I got a good nap in.
I mean, normally I get dragged open at god-awful hours
yeah,
of the morning,
true.
So
that is true.
I'm appreciating this.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, we've only recorded, like, once at our normal recording time in, like, the past five weeks, I think, and that's all my fault.
And it was the one where there were two people on the West Coast. I just wanted to point that out. It was the worst for everyone else.
I know. It's been like a wacky wild time for me just because I've been traveling so much. I just want it to end. I just want it to end. It will end soon. It will end
soon. I assume you mean your travel and not the world.
No, the travel.
Just want it all to end. Sure. Bring it all down.
I just want the travel then, because like travel is a big time sink. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I know a lot of people are just like, yeah, I like to travel, and Thatch does like to travel. I really like going to new places. But I also just really dislike doing it all the time.
Yeah, and, exactly.
It just wears on you. Like, you just get tired. And it's
you
bad.
Feel like you're always moving and you're never able to like sit down.
Yeah. Oh no, it was, we almost accidentally scheduled this trip at a bad time. Well, first of all, welcome to the Puckle Podcast.
Yeah.
The show where we talk everything in Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game and everything in between. Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. Nailed it. Okay. Back to the topic at hand.
Back to travel.
Back to travel. But.
And Seth with the weather.
Yes. It's
raining sideways.
I almost had this. So I'm leaving this Saturday to go to visit my in-laws. And so I have to take an airplane, blah, blah, blah. Whole shenanigans. And it's just like, it's crazy because I almost scheduled this trip right before I have to go to a conference also on the West Coast. And it was going to be a nightmare. Because I would have literally flown home, slept in my bed for a day, and then gotten back on an airplane to fly back to where I just come from.
Mm.
No.
And I was like, no, 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 no. That's not happening. I am going to be in my bed for multiple nights before I fly back.
Goodness, that sounds terrible. I hate that.
Yeah, right? No, I pulled something similar. Like, I really burned myself out when I went to South Korea a few months ago. Because I right before the South Korea trip, I had gone to another trip in San Antonio where I got to see Claude, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was like, I got home and then I had a week and then I flew to South Korea.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And that was like, and like the entire time I was in South Korea, I'm like, I just want to go sleep in my own bed. I'm so tired. I want to be home. I just want to relax. Because like the whole week in between, you're just getting ready for the next trip. You're not you're not relaxing after your trip. You're just like, yeah. I mean, it's going to kind of be like that this time, except at least like the first trip is kind of a vacation and then the second trip is work.
Okay, that's good.
And then I get like a whole month off after that, which is really nice.
Heck yeah.
Then I have to go to another conference. And then maybe a month later, another conference. And then maybe a month later, another conference.
No.
Yeah, it's only like slightly nightmarish. It's fine. Lots of travel. Lots of travel. It makes
Woo,
you tired.
No travel.
It's what you do when you don't have kids. And you're the one guy who doesn't have kids in your team. And they're like, you need to go present for us. It's like, I'll do it. Nobody else can.
Yeah, that works.
So it's it just makes you tired.
Yeah.
It just makes you tired. But yeah, Pokemon. That's happened this week.
Pokemon.
Pokemans. I bought a box of Paldea Evolved. That was cool.
Yep.
I pulled two Ioano out of it, which was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I was like, man, a playset would be... You know what made me even more upset? Was that it's not even a rare.
It's like an professor's uncommon. Research. Like,
it's an uncommon, and I pulled two of them out of like 36 packs.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, what is this? I just want a playset, you know?
I didn't even pull one from two pre-release boxes.
Oh, I didn't play any pre-releases. I've just gotten to the point where, like, I buy my own pre-release kits, and then I just trick my friends into coming to my house under the guise of, like, booze and popcorn.
That works.
And then we play Pokemon.
I know you meant alcohol, but I didn't at first. My first thought was the Mario enemy?
Yeah, Bowser. Or no, booze.
Yeah, you're here for booze.
Yeah, they're here for booze. Gosh. I have a bunch of little ghosts that just like go and they like fly around my house.
What was that?
Unless you look at them, then they stop. They cover their eyes, you know. Okay, but yeah. Anything fun going on with you guys? I haven't opened up live since they converted to Paldea Evolved. I need to do it because it's the official release.
I have opened live just to put my codes in and like get two or three cards to fix some of my decks. Like now the Arctina deck that I have is better.
Yeah.
The Arceus Regidrago deck that I have in my head exists on live for me now. That's pretty much all I've done is make them.
Oh, okay. Wait, no. So I want to ask you a question, Seth.
Oh boy. Okay. Hit me.
Yeah. This is all because I saw your tweet on Twitter about how much you hate Pokemon Live.
Yeah. Okay.
And so one, I agree with hating on Pokemon Live like up to a month ago. I think it is super stable. Well, not super. I believe it's stable as is right now. I haven't had any game breaking issues in like the past 2 weeks like I have in the past.
Okay. Okay.
Like I would encounter them very regularly.
I see what you're saying.
And so I'm now the GUI. Let's not talk about how the steel type sound will make you go deaf. Like that's definitely an issue. Like there's a lot of issues.
That is what I'm for me in my experience. That's what I'm most bothered by is just it the UI, the way that you go about building a deck. You can't really look at a collection unless you're in the deck builder. Things like that just really irk me, and I see the other things happening glitch-wise from other people. I'm with you. I haven't really had any game-breaking issues, but I also know Gardevoir EX is still broken a couple months in, so...
No, it was broken. It's not... I mean, I've played Gardevoir a couple...
And you can't craft the V-Union cards anymore for some reason, and people are having trouble like bringing them back from the discard. Like, the game at a fundamental level does not work reliably.
I don't entirely agree with that.
That's fair.
I think it is significantly better, which is, I mean, that's still not saying a lot, right? I think it is functioning significantly better. And I have to remind everybody that like PTCGO when it first came out was also a turd.
That is not a reason. That is not an excuse.
It's not an excuse, but I think it puts things into some context. I do agree the Pokemon Company with its, you know, it's not a small amount of money that the company earns. Should have probably dumped more resources into said game.
I don't want to go into a Pokemon game saying, oh, well, they always suck at the beginning. I would like for once to go into a new age Pokemon game of any sort and be like, cool, this is great from day one.
We just haven't had that in a very long time, Seth.
I know, and I don't like that is the expectation walking into a Pokemon game. That's what I'm most frustrated by.
If you also want out of this conversation, audience, don't worry, it's mutual.
That is a valid complaint.
Yay, intro.
About most, I mean, Pokemon Cafe probably wasn't broken when it came out.
Pokemon Cafe, yeah, you're right, you're probably right.
I mean, you know, all of the player are really happy about that. And that player's name is Joe Merrick.
yeah.
I don't know who's still, like, who's...
We love you, Joe.
Yeah, I have never like encountered anybody that is yelled at me. Like, I get yelled at a lot on the internet, right?
What? No.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Never want, like, most of the comments are like, Thatch is a narcissist. Thatch, you need to be quieter. And all these other things.
Thatch, you need to be quieter. I'm just going to say that later on in the show. Thatch, yes, you need to be quieter.
Quieter.
Shut up.
And, but I never, like, I'll you know, dunk on Pokemon Cafe all the time. I have not been yelled at for Pokemon Cafe. Yeah,
I tried playing it a little bit. It's kind of fun. I got through some of the tutorials. I haven't touched it since, but it's kind of fun.
It has real Candy Crush energy.
Yeah, yeah. Shock. I just didn't. Just kind of waving my hand on the screen, just get all the things. Yeah. Okay.
It reminds me. I don't know. It like I really I we had like Pokemon Candy Crush, and that was Pokemon. What was it called? Shuffle. Yeah.
That was fun. I mean, that was fun.
That was a fun game. Like that was a fun game. I enjoyed
it. Yeah, well, it didn't feel as soulless as Candy Crush, and that's more what I was implying.
Oh, no, the Pokemon the Pokemon Coat of Paint does, like, a really good job with a lot of that. I'm not going to lie. Like, Pokemon itself, like, the characters have soul because, like, time goes into the designs.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot of things.
Except 60% of Gen 5 Pokemon.
It's better than just being like, King Candy needs you to crush some candy.
Crush my subjects.
Yeah, something like
I'm King Candy. Crush other candy. Whatever. You're on level 8,402. You've just begun.
Yeah, right.
Which, I mean, isn't that? Was it a plot point in Wreck-It Ralph where they're like, "This doesn't make sense. They'd never design it like that."
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
That was such a good call. I love that movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, this we've thoroughly talked about very little Pokemon.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pokemon, though, well, there is some news this week. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower. Just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, event raids are coming back to Scarlet and Violet next weekend, June 16th, starting with the Chestnut and Great Tusk / Iron Treads rerun that didn't work the first time because they broke it.
Yay.
Yay.
They fixed it now.
Pokemon Home came out, though, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that's good for someone else to get. Is it still Great Tusk for Scarlet and Iron?
It's whatever Iron it was. It's whatever it was the last time.
It's your version.
Okay. Yeah, it's your version. It's not cross version gifts.
Wouldn't that be nice though? Wouldn't that be cool. Smart and get people to actually want to play?
Yeah, and keep the numbers up so that they can have higher attention going into their own sales. Like, it even makes sense monetarily, man.
Like, I don't know why they keep shooting themselves in the foot, because, like, it was such a really good idea to release the home bonds, like, super slowly like they were, but they were doing it slowly.
Did they do the VMAX or whatever, Gigantamax raids and stuff like that for alternate versions?
The very end of the life cycle.
Near the end, I believe.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I don't disagree that they should. I think what they've been doing is better than what they did in Sword and Shield, where they're just like, oh, Greninja's not in the game. Here, have Greninja. That's really nice. I think they should keep doing things like that. I kind of wish when they did the home update, they're just like, hey, we put 20 more Pokemon in there so we can make it interesting and make you actually care.
They could drop that later on, but yeah, I agree.
They could, but I don't, like, they won't.
Yeah,
I could see them doing it when the DLC drops. Like, they'll just put extra Pokemon in the code, like they always have. Yep. But the problem is, home's already out, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
because then those Pokemon are home compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. I mean, they're doing something. Whether or not it's the right thing, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all right, well, Pokemon Go.
I had a thing. GoFest details were released. There's going to be early research for carving for people who purchase tickets. Diancie research will be given for the events. Global event will include regionals Carnivine and Pachirisu. The IRL events also get Sigilyph.
Yeah.
There's a Solstice event this coming weekend. Not sure what it involves. And then there's a Team Rocket takeover, which can I just say suck? It's like It's like I can't. On my walk today, I don't get items and have to do a lot of battles if I want to even try. Cool.
Yay.
I do want to say I think they're doing a lot with that. It's not just going to be in Go, because if you guys are signed up for the emails and everything from Pokemon Center, there was the Eevee's ready for summer and rock your summer styles, but the thing glitched, and like the description of the email was, gosh, like summertime with R Rocket takeover, and then that was... It flashes Team Rocket things on there. It was a real slick email. I think it's really cool, and I'm honestly excited for whatever the heck they do with it.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
See how it goes. All right, TCG. Let me know, Seth, what's happening.
You bet. So, folks on TCG Live, because we're recording it on a, Thursday when it finally dropped, it is now updated for Paldea Evolved. You can put all your code cards in, start playing with all the new things. And the Paldea Evolved ladder decks are Fortress EX and Qian Pao EX.
One of these things is not like the other.
One of these things is significantly less meme-y than the other. Yes. But I think Fortress is cool. I guess Qian Pao is a meme, but it'll take off. Anyway. The pre-release cards were announced for Obsidian Flames, which is the next set here in English and everywhere else. It's really super early, but, whatever. Those are Palafin, Togekiss, Cleffa, and Mawile.
Ooh, Cleffa.
I know the Palafin has a weird thing where it has to go from bench to active, and it does, like, 210 for 2 water energy. It's really good.
I'm starting to feel like a Magic player now with the sets. By the way, like we had that long gap between Silver Tempest and Scarlet and Violet, and now they're just like squeezing everything else in, because like we're gonna talk about it, I guess, in a minute. But like I'm feeling like a Magic player with a set all of time right now.
Yeah, a little bit. I know the Cleffa is kind of cool. It's got
baby Pokemon are the best.
Free. It's got an attack for. It's got 60 HP, so Sableye food. But it has an attack that is for free, and you draw up till you have 7. So it's kind of neat.
Cool.
And the other TCG news is that the Pokemon 151 set is set to release in September for the West.
That's great. I thought it was going to be later.
I was thinking November, honestly.
Well, so November's usually our fourth set, right? And my concern was they're going to push it to October, and then they're going to push that set to December or something. But I think try to be really good about making that set come out in November so they can like put together the little boxes for Christmas.
Yeah.
I think they try to be really good about that, so... Usually, like, we get off cycle, which we horribly are right now.
Right. I don't even know if rotation's going to happen this year. We'll see.
Rotation's going to happen in April or whatever it is. Or February, maybe? Maybe February. Whenever the fifth set of Scarlet and Violet comes out is the answer.
We'll take your hot takes on rotation in the emails.
That is when it will be, and then Lugia might die, but we'll just have colorless Lugia instead, maybe. and it'll still be around, but we're just gonna watch it slowly get nerfed.
Right. But yeah, that's the TCG news.
Yep, it's definitely a time, I'll tell you that. I mean, I'm excited for that, but that's because Thatch is like neck deep in it. I'm just like really neck deep. Oh, I just lost the news doc. There we go. Puckle's Pokey Opinion, and this will totally apply to Linnean. New cards are you crafting first on live for the new format? Are you gonna bling out your Ayano playset? Ladder gives you 2 Squawkabilly GX and a playset of Ayano and a enough in quotes Wuchien for Fortress. I don't know. I guess I'll probably just craft enough Ayano to like make my now decks the same.
I haven't done anything yet.
I haven't done anything yet. I will just craft a playset of normal Ayano, probably, and call it good enough, and update a couple decks with Ayano instead of Judge.
Exactly.
And that'll be what I do, because I think that's the biggest change you have to make currently.
Yep.
I think the meta is very similar, with the exception of Ayano replacing Judge. I think that is everything else. I don't know. Like maybe I'll build together a Chien Pao something, like a Chien Pao pile. But I would love to see it with, it's September. I can't wait for September now. I'm very hyped. September's going to be the month. September's going to be the month. That's probably when we're getting DLC pack one.
Heck yeah.
And that's probably when we're going to get, Blastoise EX to go with that Chien Pao. And it'll be good. As soon as that card comes out, I'm going to buy it. That deck like speaks to me. I want Blastoise to be good at something, and this deck is going to let it be good at something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited for Blastoise to be good one now. I've been waiting for years. Give him his chance. Give that boy his chance. But yeah, that's what, I'm waiting to craft Blastoise EX. That's the answer to this question, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know that I care. I don't care about too much from this. Like you mentioned it beforehand. Like Super Rod is exciting to be back. I think Super Rod is exciting to be back because Old Rod is gone. That is my hot take. Not Old Rod.
Ordinary Rod.
Ordinary Rod is gone. Yeah.
Old Rod. What? Yeah,
it is the Old Rod. Now, I think it's exciting to have Super Rod back because of that. What's really nice is I already had like a bunch of playsets from my old, from back when I played.
So. That was really cool. Yeah. What do you think, Lydian? What are your thoughts?
What are your thoughts on Super Rod? Are you going to craft
it? I don't play the TCG, so I have absolutely nothing to contribute here.
I know, that's the point. That was the point of the joke, I think.
Yeah.
That's the point of the joke.
You're going to craft some basic lands.
Yeah, you could craft, I don't know, whoever you really feel like crafting right now. Does Faulkner have a full art in this set, by the way? I didn't realize he was in this set.
I don't know. Faulkner? Is he related to Ramos?
You have to know who Faulkner is. It's Faulkner.
I have wiped Gen 2 from my mind.
I don't like you.
I know.
I think in terms of like regions that nailed their theme, Johto is one of the best. There is a full art. There is a full art for this. So I will need to probably get that for my wife. But my wife's all about collecting the cards.
Yeah.
We have like a symbiotic relationship. Because that's how I get most of my play sets, is that she tries to collect the set. And so she gets a bunch of stuff while she's trying to get the rares. And so then I build up play sets. The problem is I have way too much Scarlet and Violet bulk right now.
Exactly the problem.
I don't know. Part of me wants to, like, I don't know. Like, with all this bulk, I kind of want to build a cube. I don't know how to build a cube. I've watched Omnipoke's videos on
Omnipoke. Oh, you mean like the folded cube thing?
No, a cube to play.
Like a draft cube.
Oh,
like a draft cube.
I thought you meant where you take the cards and fold them into a giant 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot cube. That's really actually kind of cool.
Every fold I would make would hurt my soul just a little bit.
It's fun. It's therapeutic. I've seen some energy ones that are real neat.
I could see that. But yeah. All right. Well, that's the news. Now's the time where we get to kick it on over to our trivia segment, where we get to quiz our co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to our trivia segment. Thank you for that introduction, Mark. We're going to jump right on into it then. Our first question is going to come from Rika on the Discord server. What is Spinarak and Ariados' signature move that was removed after one generation?
Toxic Threats.
No. What was that?
Toxic Threats.
Toxic Threats.
Final answer. Yes.
Yes, that too. Yes.
Toxic Thread is correct.
What? what is that?
Shot plus poison.
Yes. It poisons the opponent and lowers the state speed by 1. Does it hit both opponents in doubles?
I don't know.
Did it exist if doubles was around?
Fact, yeah, it only existed in Gen 7 because it got nuked in the Gen 8 transfer. I never used it. I just know it exists.
You're absolutely correct.
That was like really fast. I'm still. Wow.
Yeah. Signature moves is one of those things where I just know them. I just know them.
It's just like a really weird one, too. Like, it's just a really weird one.
That is which are the ones I know the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it does hit both opponents in doubles.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, to be fair, String Shot does too.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it has an interesting downside in that you have to be using Aridos.
You could use Smeargle.
It does have a cool pattern on Pokemon shirts. Rest in peace.
What a wild downgrade to Dark Void.
Right.
To be fair, Dark Void got nerfed real hard.
That's what I mean. They're like, all right, and in response, and in consolation, here's Toxic Threat.
And also, it doesn't work for Darkrai either.
Fine. Darkrai didn't need it to be better than Darkrai was. Let's be honest, okay? Darkrai was already really good. I remember when Darkrai came out. It was a good time. Oh, right. Well, that is one of your questions today. How much do you guys know about the anime?
Enough.
So much.
All right. So, of all of the Pokemon that Ash has caught, which types has he only caught one of? There's actually two of these.
Ghost.
Really? Yeah, that's what I was gonna think of. Not dragon.
I mean, I could just take one, but you could try. You could try for the second one.
We're gonna try.
We're gonna try. There are 18 options. We can knock out some. We can knock out fire, water, grass, electric, real fast.
Yeah.
Dragon. Actually, now I think about it. I don't think I can knock out electric.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Anything other than Pikachu? Well, he didn't catch Pikachu, if we want to be completely pedantic.
That's still, like, not more than one.
That's still not more than one.
I think he might not. Yeah, you know, I said that, and that, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I don't think Ash has ever had another. Because you wouldn't want one on your team to compete, right?
Right, yeah.
I think it's electric.
I can't find another electric type in the thing. That wasn't the answer I was given. The answer I was given was fairy, because he only had one. He had Mr. Mime, technically.
Maybe there's three.
I can't see like another electric type that he owned, though.
He had Rotom, but he didn't catch it.
Okay, but if we count Rotom, maybe that counts. But I will take Pikachu, because that does make sense. So you guys get the point anyway. You guys are two for two. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. It is going to come to you from Deacon Cheese on the Discord server.
And delicious.
The first entry is going to be from Pokemon Platinum. It windmills its arms to slightly boost its punches. Foes have been known to escape in the meantime.
What?
I've
from
read this.
Platinum?
I've read this.
Windmills its arm.
I've read
this. I just like imagine somebody who can't fight and they're just going, slinging both his arms.
Defensive maneuvers. Just windmills.
Defensive maneuvers.
What's something from Platinum that's punchy?
Well, it's just got to be from pre-gen.
Or in Platinum.
Gen 4 or before.
And before.
The first
it's,
half of all
it's
Pokemon.
It's a Gen 1 Pokemon.
Machoke?
No, because Machoke is a competent fighter. This thing is just like flexing and then Pokemon run away.
It's like a fire. That's so funny.
I think it's Electabuzz?
That kind of makes sense.
Because it was one of those like classic really silly Dex entries.
Yeah.
It was on
thinking of an Electabuzz doing that.
It also like has to have arms, so
it has to have arms.
Worst case, it's Hitmonchan, and we get it next time. You know, like,
yeah.
Electabuzz.
Electabuzz is correct. You guys, are four for three. It's Pokemon Shield entry was the hint, and it says with the coming of a storm, many of these Pokemon will gather under tall trees and sit there waiting for lightning to strike.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What totally, a silly Pokemon.
Totally normal things to expect. All right. Your next question. We're going to go ahead and ask you from the once and future gamer. In Pokemon contests, there are 8 ghost type moves that come under the clever condition.
Oh,
what
okay.
moves are they? I'm gonna
no,
also.
I don't know any of
you
these.
You only need to give me 2. You only need to give me 2 because I do not expect you to know any more than this.
Ghost type clever moves.
I want to ask a question, Seth. Can you name 8 ghost type attacks? I'd have a hard time.
Yeah, I could.
It's more of a.
Will-O-Wisp is fire. Destiny Bond seems clever.
Because the thing is, no, that would.
Well, it's like, I'm thinking ahead, and I'm going to take my opponent out.
Sure! Yeah, you know what? Sure!
What? You're going to go Destiny Bond? Lock it in?
Yes.
Sure!
Yes.
That is correct. That is one
Heck
of the clever, clever moves. Yeah. Give me 1 more, and I'll give you another point.
Curse.
And we'll call it a day. Curse is not correct, unfortunately.
Dang it.
During the
that
time of contest,
clever.
Curse was not a ghost.
No,
type.
It was
oh.
in Gen, they were no, they were oh. in Gen 6.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
They were in Gen 6, so that is not correct.
That is true.
Forgot about that change.
Curse does not count though, no.
It's not clever anyway.
That's your first strike.
Shadow clever. Ball.
That seems more like a beauty thing.
You want to lock it in?
Yes, I'm done.
Yes.
I do not know.
Shadow Ball is correct.
Oh, come on!
What do I know?
It turns out that all you had to do is just, like, name ghost-type moves. Reading these answers, by the way. Like, I think you just had to, like, list the ghost-type moves that existed during contests. in Gen 3, and you or Gen 4, and you would probably be fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because...
What else?
Confuse Ray... Hex, Nightshade, Nightmare, Shadow Ball, Shadow Punch, and Shadow Sneak are all clever.
So
moves.
Literally, don't like, name Shadow Claw.
Yeah, like you're pretty much there. Yeah,
Shadow Claw had been a move in Gen 3.
It wasn't Gen 4.
It wasn't.
And
Gen
it wasn't Gen 6, where these again persisted into Oras.
Yeah.
All
but
right.
I imagine
but that
the
gives
motivation
you,
of it, whatever.
That gives you guys a lot of points now.
Yeah.
We're
down to the last question, the
down
base stats.
Well, another one from the Once and Future Gamer. Which Steel-type Pokemon has the lowest base defense of all Steel-type Pokemon?
Oof. Cartana's bad specially, not physically.
The lowest defense. Yeah, defense. Okay.
I'm trying to think of anything that's like super specially defensive.
Mm-hmm. Mawile comes to mind just because it's little.
What comes to mind for me is Tinkatink.
That's actually got a surprisingly okay special defense.
But we're talking
about physical.
Defense.
I am a goofball, and you are correct. Yes.
Because otherwise, the answer would be Cartana.
I keep flip flopping in my head or Orthworm.
Orthworm's. I'm trying to think of like really baby steals because it's gotta be something like that or something that's got an extremely warped stat spread.
And Tinkaton already has a low enough.
It's like 70.
70, 80. 75.
Oh, Seth!
Oh, yes.
What's a really frail Gen 1 Pokemon?
Magnemite.
What's a really frail Gen 1 ground-type Pokemon?
Diglett.
It's a lowland Diglett.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Because it's got to be, it's like, what, 4?
It's got negative 4 defense.
Like, I think Diglett's defense stayed the same. I think it just lost speed and gained attack.
Uh-huh, yeah. Alolan Diglett sounds really, really good. Yeah.
Because, like, Diglett is nothing.
Yeah. Piece of paper.
You're going to go with Alolan Diglett.
And I'm going to be real sad if it's Marowbiva.
So you are
technically correct, yes. For some reason, I was not fed that answer.
The best kind sheet? Of correct.
No, you are correct. It has a base stat of 3. So there's like no qualifiers.
What did they have?
They had Tinkatink? Or maybe it's okay, not what's the answer I was reading.
What is Maribiba's
Tinkatink has 44.
44?
Yeah. Qfint has 49. And then Bladeform Aegislash has 50.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Alolan Diglett, by far... has the lowest base like defense, so mm-hmm. I will that like it's 30. So we are gonna go ahead and take
Yay!
It.
Yay!
Right. Well, you guys got a perfect score then today. That definitely does something, I'm sure, on the scoreboard.
Thank you for saving my butt on like two.
I know nothing about the TCG, but I can do trivia.
You can tell me a signature move when you're asleep. I tell you what.
All right. So let me go ahead and get those trivia points added in for you, because I'm sure you're waiting with bated breath at what the update is. In our race to 40, the point totals have changed significantly with this. So pulling ahead into first place, we have Linian with 37.
Golf clap.
In second, we've got a two-way tie between Claude9 and Seth Vilo with 28. Oh. In fourth, we've got a three-way tie of Whimsicott, Sublime, and Shark, all with 24. In seventh, we got Mark with 20. Sigma's in eighth with 19. Jushiro's in ninth with 13. Basket's in 10th with 12. And Shamu's bringing up the rear with 5. Still anybody's game. Linian might, like, have to go on vacation or something.
I mean, I'm not on for a while, so, like, who knows?
Yeah.
Now's your chance, co-hosts. Let's take him out.
Yeah, take him out back.
Why is there a little red dot on my shirt?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about it. Just hold still.
All right.
Hey, well, bend to pick up his quarter.
If you want, until next time, you just need to listen to the show next week, and you'll get some more trivia. So until then, we are going to kick it on over to our topic. We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener, the first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the hosts and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Welcome to the topic. Our topic this week is the update on how the competitive video game is going. That's exciting. It still exists.
Yeah.
Pokemon Home came out. We got a bunch of new Pokemon. And so, I mean, let's start with OU, because OU's like, I don't know, I feel like that's bread and butter. And you just
Sure.
Because I think it's like Ursaluna good, and...
A lot of things good, honestly, and...
A lot of good things did show up, because it wasn't, like, a lot of Pokemon. It was, like, here's the Legends Arceus stuff, and then here's a bunch of Legends.
It was the Legendaries, the Legends Arceus, and Carbink.
Yes.
And some starters. That was pretty much what it was. But I don't think Diancie's in, but Carbink is.
No, Diancie isn't.
Is it? Okay.
That's why Carbink is in, is because of Diancie.
I just got weirded out because I was looking at it. It's just, what, why?
I'm just hoping that DLC gets to quote unquote demythicalize Diancie now.
That's kind of what I'm hoping too. Like, I don't know. I feel like demythicalizing all mythical Pokemon is a good play.
I think it is, but I want a slow rollout so they can do something at least as interesting as the Keldeo tracks.
No, I really like what we have. In terms of just like a Pokemon ecosystem now that Pokemon Home's like backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm perfectly okay with multiple games just giving you random mythicals. My only hope is that we could demythicalize in all games that can connect directly to Pokemon Home. That's my only desire. But yes, continue.
So a lot of things have happened with OU. As Thatch said, pretty much all the home things dropped, and they all start OU, which is why we're really going to be focusing on that one this time instead of kind of dabbling in the lower tiers, because nothing new has fallen to those yet. So, you know, first off, we've already had 3 bans as of recording.
Oh, wait, what got banned? I need to know now.
What do you think got banned?
We've had 4 bans, actually.
Hmm?
4?
Yeah, well, one's a double. Yesterday at 6 p.m.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Explain.
I forgot about the very first one. So, you know, all the legends drop.
So Thatch, test your Pokemon intuition. What do you think was the first ban?
Yeah. The first ban in OU.
I have to think about the Pokemon that came out, because there's like a lot of options.
Pretty much if it's a legendary, it came out. And the other thing that dropped alongside is they gave...
Yeah, well, Zacian, obviously. Like, Zacian feels like a very obvious, like, boop.
Zacian didn't hit it. Like, that never went to OU.
Yeah, I didn't think it would hit it. Like, that's just Ubers.
There was only a handful that were allowed to touch OU.
I know Zamazenta got in, which is...
Zamazenta, yeah. Both of them.
Zamazenta, yeah. Zamazenta Crowned got banned, but Hero Form is currently legal.
Yes.
It's just because of the body press.
Exactly. It gained access to that move, which is what broke it.
Which it should have had the entire time, but it's fine.
It should have, thematically, absolutely, but now it made it.
No, the fact that it didn't have it in Gen 8 is very upsetting to me.
Uh-huh. So that was not the first ban, though. What do you think is more problematic? Here, let's narrow it down to two.
Give me like three or four choices. I could do it.
Let's see if you can guess the order. In alphabetical order, Qianpao, Magearna, and Regieleki. What of those was banned first?
I think it was Regieleki. I saw a lot of talk on Twitter about that.
You are correct.
Yeah, it was banned within hours.
The fastest Pokemon was banned the fastest.
I saw Finchinator talk about it on Twitter, and then somebody like about how it needs to be banned, and then somebody followed up with like, no, I just run Scarf Regieleki to outrun the Regielekis. Duh.
Exactly.
And I was just like, what?
So, it turns out that the Pokemon that is balanced by only having electric and normal type moves in a game with Terra Blast becomes a nightmare.
Yes, it does.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, because Regieleki, he shocked you.
Although, one interesting thing was found out after the fact. Transistor was nerfed.
Yes.
Yeah.
From a 50% stab, you know, additional stab boost to a 30%. However, Dragon's Maw was not. So they know.
They know.
They definitely know. They definitely know.
Yeah.
Pokemon's all, like, asking if Pokemon knows is, I think, a very bad question, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Just because I think Pokemon always knows.
Yeah.
I think they just always know. And we just, I don't know if we're giving them enough credit some days.
Uh-huh. Speaking of giving them credit, Magearna exists and is arguably one of the perfect Pokemon.
Oh, Magearna should be banned.
Yeah, it was banned not quite as fast, but it was still very much banned.
Within a couple of days, yeah.
Shock.
It took a while, but Qianpao and Zacian Crowned have also been banned.
Yes. And, again, we're recording this on Thursday. The council folks, because they're getting rid of a lot of this garbage really early just with council votes, they are taking another semi-emergent vote over the weekend. And by the time this episode comes out, a couple more things might be gone as well.
One of them is my favorite of the newly released Pokemon, and the other is one I drafted.
Yeah, well, no. That one's not really too far. There's other problematic things before they get to Ursaluna. Ursaluna is very good.
Ursaluna is very good. Ursaluna, we knew that was going to happen like when we got the stats from PLA, though. Like,
exactly.
Uh-oh.
We saw this like quite literally like, I don't know, like years, like a year ago now, like we saw this where you're like, oh, this is going to be a problem.
It did lose one of its primary abusing partners, though, which was Magearna, to set up the Trick Room and then just bounce itself out with Eject Pack Fleur Cannon. So it lost a way to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it made Trick Room just in general a little bit more fragile. But it still has plenty of opportunities to abuse and use. It's very strong. Very strong. But it's not as good now because its partner left.
Well, let me just, before we move on to the thing that I do want to talk about, yeah. I do want to read off a single calc.
Yes.
At +2, a Terra Normal Ursaluna has a 56% chance to one-shot a fully defensively invested Corviknight, dealing a minimum of 92%, killing it instantly with rocks.
With what move, Linnean?
Facade.
You mean a resisted normal move?
Yes.
Yep. It dies so hard.
Yeah.
Who would have thought 140 attack was good? And 140 base power.
And guts boosted facade.
Yeah, so it turns out Ursaluna is cracked, and I love it. But not as much as my favorite Pokemon, the RNG machine.
Yeah, Sneasler is absolutely insane. Dyreclaw is probably the big thing that they're looking at here, but since it's tied to the Pokemon and nothing else has it, they have to ban the Pokemon, just like with Houndstone. But yeah, that's one thing that almost got enough votes on the council vote over last week to ban it as well. Because, you know, when you have a 50% chance with every hit of Dyreclaw to inflict a status, which, you know, when you use it is going to be something stupid, but when your opponent uses it is going to put you to sleep every time.
So it's not a 1 in 3 to get sleep. Poison has a 50% chance, and the other two each have a 25, I believe. So you're more likely to get poison out of it, but you can paralyze or sleep something, either of which is crippling.
Yeah, neither of those are bad.
And it's got 80 base power!
Yeah, they cranked it up from 60 to 80.
I didn't think this was going to be that big of a deal, because A, I thought they would get rid of Drowsy, because it had Drowsy, and I was like, whatever. I also thought it would be 60 base power, and I thought this would be manageable. It's not. I love it. Please stay.
Yeah, it's probably not going to, though, if I'm being honest.
It's probably not, but...
Because, gosh, that's frustrating. Oh, my word. I've been seeing some people talk about it. I haven't been on the ladder too much, I will admit, to you two and all of everyone ever listening, but...
Yes.
For reference, this thing's got 120 speed, so it's got a really good chance of just crippling its checks.
And if you really want to go all hacks in on the let's do status so something else can clean up later with, like, Hex or whatever, you can have it have Poison Touch as an ability, which cranks up the possibility of inflicting a status to, like, it's not additive, it's multiplicative, so it's like 61-62%, I think. So Jirachi. So it's Iron Head Jirachi's likelihood of inflicting a status on anything it touches.
Most likely poison, but, you know, other options available. And it's got a burden.
Yeah, Hawlucha 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Like, we've discussed all of this and not even mentioned Unburden.
Yeah, we hadn't even gotten there yet, because Sneasler is just bananas.
I love him. I love him so much.
It's so good, and it's so cool. Oh, goodness. So that's the other thing that... Let me see what else is on the radar. Let me pull that up.
I've got it open. Volcarona got a lot better, it looks like.
Yeah.
Urshifu Rapid Strike, while Single Strike didn't even come in, Rapid Strike has hit the eye thing.
Swords Dance and Punching Glove, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that would do it.
Yep.
And also, people are crybabies who hate Light Clay.
That's mostly because they're putting it on the radar because they're just kind of giving the opportunity to hear it out because it's banned in every tier below us, you know, you?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So they're kind of giving an opportunity to see, is it screams that's the problem, or is it the fact that we have
these things behind it?
A dozen broken legendaries right now that we need to get rid of.
Counter argument. Raging, like, if screens are a problem, there are answers. Raging Bull, they've added a new one.
There are, yeah.
There are even answers on this that can use it. Most of these Pokemon are capable of Brick Break and can use it for coverage, too.
Right, exactly. So that's why it's never really happened in OU. OU can kind of self-manage a little bit better than the lower tiers.
Yeah, because you'll have good answers that can deal with these things. And Defog gets rid of it, too. So my professional opinion, cry about it.
Yeah, but yeah. Golden Go has fallen hard all of a sudden, probably just because of new toy syndrome a little bit. But you know what's really good? Hisuian Samurott.
So how do they translate Ceaseless Edge, Seth?
It is powerful dark move that sets spikes.
And what's its accuracy? Did they fix it?
I think it's 100. Let me see.
Because it was like 80 in PLA. But a lot of the PLA moves had jank accuracy.
It is 90.
90? Enough! It gets buffed from sharpness, which this thing also has.
Yes, it does. I was about to point that out. Its power is 65, but don't let that fool you. It has sharpness. So, yeah, sharpness Hisuian Samurott is kind of stupid. You thought spikes were annoying. We can just set them while also doing damage with a move that's got pretty dang decent neutral coverage. I like that. Like, I want to make a team around accidentally vomiting up status hazards with this and Glamora. Just stupid.
And I will counter you with the most powerful Pokemon known to man.
Great Tusk?
Mousehold.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Great Tusk is still got its hold as the primary of the two, because Lando lost a whole lot of coverage moves and things like that, and utility moves. Like, it lost Defog, it lost Toxic, it lost Knockoff.
You did say of the two, which implied that there was a strong contention between it and Mousehold, and for a second I thought I wanted to live in that universe.
Lando, Mousehold, take your pick. Oh yeah, that would be great. That would be a great alternate reality. Marvel, get on it. Let's see, what else is going on? Do you still have that? I've got an on the radar thing.
Yeah, I do. The only other thing that I think is worth mentioning in that, especially the new, I really want to talk about the new Pokemon coming in.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm looking over everything, turns out we've got some pretty decent playability from most of the stuff that's coming in. Arcanine got Rockhead, so it's like,
yeah,
reasonably good now. Articuno, Galar, why is that in high viability?
I can tell you why that's in high viability. Because stored power is stupid, and okay, it has competitive, and it has stored power.
Actually, I kind of like, that's cool.
And you can Terra into a good type, and what else was there?
Okay.
There's something else that it does. I don't know if it's a double dance type thing. It's the one with recover. I think it retained recover.
The thing that surprises me is how not awesome it turns out Enamorous is. I thought this thing would be like it's fine, but it's fine, and I thought it was going to be amazing.
Right. So. Yeah. I thought it was going to take over, but there's too many other things right now. Yeah, I'm looking at an Articuno set. It's got Agility, Calm Mind, Stored Power, Terra Blast.
That'll do it.
That'll do it for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about it. Something that's probably just creep. We will see. I think there will be a re-evaluation of Enamorous once Sneasler's gone. Fast poison type that wants to click Direclaw probably stops the slow setup fairy type.
Yeah, that's true. Especially Therian Enamorous. That looks like it has some potential, but no one's quite figured it out yet.
And probably can't as long as they're taking a Direclaw to the face. Yet another reason we should keep Sneasler.
Yeah. I like Zapdos's back, but it lost Defog, so it kind of stinks.
Which Zapdos are you referring to? I mean, both of them lost it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking through on the viability list, too, just to have anything else come up, because that's kind of what everyone's doing right now in OU, is figuring out, okay, what's cool to run? What do we do with this thing? One thing that's getting a lot of traction right now is the Galarian Slow King.
Yeah, of course. It's
yes.
Good.
Yes.
It should, and it just does Slowking things, and it has chilly reception. And what was Slowking, Galarian specifically, problem last gen? I didn't have teleport, unlike regular Slowking. Now it basically does. You can't run the assault vest, but...
Yeah, it doesn't have teleport. It has better slow. It has better teleport, honestly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And now that Qian Pao is banned, because that thing needs to go to a dark, dark, sealed up cave again. Why did we ever release it? I don't know. But Baxcalibur can now take advantage of things like that with the defense boost that snow now gives. That was the best choice in making snow instead of hail.
Oh yeah, no, snow is good. Snow is good. I think snow over hail is a much better choice.
Yeah.
In general. Ugh. Like, that's a very good choice.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. I think it about covers the OU side of the changes.
Again, it's only been a couple weeks. We just got bans literally yesterday evening. So
yes.
Things could change.
In the past week, we've had, you know, three sets of bans. One or two are probably going to get hit this weekend. So the information that we would give you now on what's good in OU is probably not going to be accurate right at the end of when this episode comes out. So.
And if Sneasler is still there, it's good. Use it.
Yeah, use it. Use it while you can, because it will. I think it'll get the hammer within the next 2 weeks.
Eventually, yeah.
But you know what? You know what I'm really glad about? And this is really speaking for how the council is operating. Thank Arceus, we are not doing individual suspect test ladders for each one of these, because then we would never get through this.
No. Well, they're doing a much better job, I think, pivoting than they did in Gen 8, where it was like a new way of how Pokemon operates, right?
It was the first Exactly. It was the first time it happened. They have a way to do it now. And when it comes to important things, they can do it. There is a lot more discussion now about it might be time to look at terrastalization again, which is kind of what they implied they would do when Home dropped anyway. But again, we're trying to just get the egregious monstrosities out first in the first couple weeks. Then we'll figure it out from there and kind of see.
I assume they'll have to do some retesting as well once Terra's gone. Because, like, Regieleki without Terra suddenly is very manageable.
Right. And it's less likely if it holds true from the original results and what people wanted. It's very unlikely that it will be gone. It would most likely have a restriction. Something like Terra preview on team preview. Yeah, that's a sentence.
That's probably pretty decent. That's probably not bad.
So you know that the Annihilate will turn into a fire type.
Well, that's what happens in like open team sheets for VGC, right? So,
which is exactly the argument that people, including me,
why it was so supported.
Yeah, that's exactly the argument that people made for it.
It should be supported like that. Absolutely.
So yeah, that might be coming down the pipeline. That's probably going to be not at least until the next time we do the competitive episode for VG, but we will see. So. That's OU.
And speaking of VG, we will see VGC.
VGC!
Regulation D got announced when Home came out, so that's fun.
Heck yeah!
Regulation D is going to be the format where we let in everything from Home that's not a restricted.
Yeah!
It has been. Regulation D has been deregulated.
Ha ha ha.
So that means that Regieleki gets to be in it, and Urshifu gets to be in it. A really nerfed Landorus gets to be in it.
And a really buffed Ursaluna gets to be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ursaluna I don't know is as much of a problem in VGC.
He's fine. It doesn't have as...
VGC Trick Room, yes?
VGC Trick Room, yes. But I do not believe that it is the only way to do it. The difference between VGC and singles is many.
You can double.
But... yeah, you can double into Ursaluna and take it out in one turn.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's the turn where Trick Room's coming up.
Yeah, and Ursaluna's spread isn't also that great either. I mean, it's got Earthquake. It does have Stab Earthquake, but Earthquake itself gets nerfed in doubles down to 75% base power instead of...
Oh, yeah.
So you're using Headlong Rush, which is not nearly as good.
Yes. So yeah, there's a lot of things to consider in that regard. So like Ursaluna is definitely to be feared, but not for the same reasons.
Aleki
is there and unhindered, and
unhinged.
Like, dude, the VGC community is like losing its mind about this too. Well, I should say some of the VGC community is, because they're like freaking out because one, this regulation takes effect in July, which is only 1 month prior to Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
So Worlds happens, you know, 6 weeks of this format. That's going to be absolutely nuts. I like at this point, like when I see like people who go to TCG events and people who go to video game events, they're like, why is Pokemon making it hard? And I'm just like, because I think Pokemon literally just wants something random to win. Like every time. I think if Pokemon had its way, like there would be...
Pachirisu would happen every year.
Yeah, there would be no meta. Like... we would just have random things that win every time. Like, they don't want you to be able to predict it. And so it's just nuts. Like, it's too many things. Like, I don't even know what to tell you other than, like, there's so many things that are good because a lot of the things that have been good in the past have been released on Home. Not even including the Hisuian Pokemon, of which, like, Ursaluna is very good. Kleavor even has a place. Because it turns out just, like, Accidental Rocks is decent in VGC.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird to think about. Like, there's just so many things that just, like, don't make sense. But, like, even then, you still also have Galarian Slowking there as well, which also does really... like, Trick Room is going to get a huge buff. Trick Room is going to get a huge buff in this format, I think.
There are some notable banned things, though, still. Like, most of the box legends and...
oh, yeah.
...mythicals you still can't use.
For a while, I think, that will be the case.
Yeah. So your Mewtwo's, your Kyogre's, your Diancie, your Magearna you can't use, things like that. But pretty much everything else, yeah. Walking Wake and Iron Leaves, interestingly, you cannot use.
No,
yet.
You can't use. My opinion of those are that we're just waiting for the DLC for them to come out, if that makes sense. And because I'm sure they'll just be like official Pokemon in the DLC.
I'm sure you'll be able to find them in an area.
Yeah. Like somebody had a really good theory. Well, somebody had a theory. I'm not going to call it a really good theory because one, I don't think it's very creative, but it's probably like a likely scenario. In that, we might just see like the rest of those trios pop up as well in some form or the other at the same time. And these are just kind of like the, you know, the taste. It's like Suicune makes sense to me, but Virizion does not. Like Suicune is a completely different animal than like looking at Virizion.
Well, I mean, a lot of the iron ones are kind of that Pokemon, but robot.
No. I'm not even thinking that. I'm just thinking like if I were to look at both of these trios, right? If I were to look at like the legendary beast and I was to look at the Musketeers, and I was like, I must pick one to represent that trio and turn it into a robot or into a prehistoric animal. And the guy in charge of the prehistoric animal goes, Suicune, obviously. And everybody's like, yeah, that's right. And then the other guy goes, Virizion. And everybody's like, but why? That's like the worst one.
I can make it better.
The answer is Kobalion. Like, that's the answer, right? Like, it's not Virizion.
Yeah, that would have been better.
But there has been some uproar as well over this rule set outside of it being right before Worlds. This rule set also includes Pokemon that can only evolve in PLA, which is kind of weird.
Right, because you can't do things like evolve your Ursaring up into Ursaluna in this game. At least not yet.
I'm going to say not yet. I'm putting not yet.
I guess
quotes.
Paldea doesn't have a moon or peat moss.
It doesn't have peat blocks is the answer right now. Because like the same thing for Scyther into Kleavor. The items are programmed in the game, which is, I think, the more frustrating part.
Nah, they program everything. I think Berserk Gene is still in the code.
I think they got... Berserk Gene's in the code, but there's, like, no item image or anything like that. There's actually item images, like, in the code for these.
Fair enough, yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
And there's also a spot in the code that popped up recently that has, like, the evolution method for evolving all of the Pokemon that evolve in Hisui that don't evolve now.
Okay. It might be a DLC thing. Who knows?
So it might be a DLC thing. You know that one where we're going back to, like, Japan for some reason?
Yeah.
Hard believe it's going to happen in that.
Makes sense.
I believe something will happen where they're just like, Hisui, this reminds me of it. And then you get your Pokemon.
Or even just, like, I still think they're going to do something more with, like, once you complete the DLC, which you can do earlier in the game, you'll unlock stuff in the main game. So you'll go and, for instance, you'll beat the first one, and then you'll go into deeper into Area Zero. So, like, you'll get the mask from the Ogrest, whatever its name is. Ogrepon. I don't remember what Ogrest is. Anyway, probably not. Anyway, you'll get the mask, and that will open up an area in Area Zero where there's some lore and more trauma for Arwen. I guess he can lose. Like, he almost lost his dog, he lost his dad or mom, he'll lose the other one.
I forgot about my cat.
His toad school just gets hit by a train, you know, just...
So there's definitely a connection between the mask and between Terapagos.
Yeah, so I feel like that's two ways to get in deeper, you know?
No, they definitely have two, like, they're two pieces of the same puzzle, right? I mean, I don't want to go into this because we're supposed to be doing the competitive episode, but...
That'll be a different topic.
The little diamond on Ogrepon's mask, like the little, like, star-shaped thing he's got on there, and the diamond on Terapagos' back are, if you combine them, they are Liko's pendant in the anime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The anime is actually doing like a really good job right now. I wish it was airing in the US.
Right?
Building hype for this right now.
Gosh, I wish I could see this legally.
God knows that like Pokemon isn't hyping it whatsoever right now, which is very frustrating.
I wish I wouldn't get emails about the anime coming out when I can't watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's very odd to me when they're just like, oh, I know we're 9 months behind, like always, but the anime, haha, they're doing this in Japan.
I think they even sent out an email about the new one. Like, oh, new people are...
They did.
And it's like, I can't even, what is going, simulcast it.
I can't even watch it. Yeah, they're not even simulcasting it. It's very frustrating. The Pokemon anime.
Put subtitles. I don't care.
They really need to just get their act together on this.
Call Excadrill Doryuzu. I don't care. I'll figure it out on my own.
Really, though, you're absolutely correct. Like, the fact that it's just not like on Crunchyroll or something, they're losing zero money by not doing that, by the way. Like, they're losing zero money.
Gosh, if only they were like the most profitable or in pro thing in the world.
Yeah, franchise in the world. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
But anyway, VG.
Yeah. Well, I think we pretty much finished it, but.
We got another thing, though.
What is that?
Because I really want to tap into the wealth of knowledge about things like draft and nat decks that is Linian.
Hi. Briefly.
Yes.
I have been doing frantic research as I will say this, and anyone who drafted will laugh, especially considering what I ended up with. Let me explain to you my drafting strategy.
Yeah.
Wake up to see that Claude has posted who's joining it. Not. Look to see what your draft seat is. See that you're fourth. And ask in the chat, so when's draft start? And the answer is now. So you haven't even looked at the...
Oh.
You haven't even looked at the team costs. You've just kind of generally seen what's there. You go, double check, and ask a clarifying question. Hey, is Shed Tail legal? It doesn't come up, but you don't even know that much. And then you start frantically doing research on some calcs, realize that Ursa Luna's terrifying, and go... That'll be my fourth. That'll be like, I pick four, so I need four other, I need three other options in case someone, you know, that'll be number four. I've got these other options. I still ended up getting it. So the calcs on some of the new Pokemon are insane. Ursaluna killing, basically kills anything in front of it once it gets enough strength. And in general, a lot of the new Pokemon do their OU rolls. But different, not necessarily better. With a wider array of Pokemon, you're going to have more things that skew to the extremes. Having them in, like, Ursaluna's stats are crazy, but are they that much crazier than Buzzwole, for instance?
That's fair. Yeah, they're about the same attack and defense-wise.
Yeah, Ursaluna has significantly more HP, and... hits harder, better, you know, but it's not that much more extreme.
Right, yeah.
If you're doing something where Megas are involved, like, yes, Sneasler is fantastic, but there's a lot of things that outspeed it now.
Yes.
Oh.
That 120 is good, but it's not amazing.
Yeah.
So the greater context, I think this Pokemon are going to shake out to be strong, two mids, depending on where they're at. I think Ursaluna is, it hits hard enough, it will always be relevant. But, you know, if you ask yourself, hey, what is Sneasler doing here that's particularly unique and it's status spreading? And is that better than taking, I don't know, actually, I should have had a thing.
A trillion damage?
Well, like, Sneasler, yeah, but would, you know, if you're first pick, would you rather have Sneasler, who hits real hard and might inflict a status, or just, you know, Palafin that kills it outright?
That's true.
Or Annihilate. Or, like, it doesn't do a whole lot that's super unique.
Right.
And that's kind of where a lot of these Pokemon are falling, is they're very good, or they're very strong, or they're very cool side grades to existing Mons. But nothing in the grand scheme of things is that much better. So, sorry to bum you out, but these Pokemon are okay.
Yeah, that's okay. It's really, too, also just the whole fact that the Puckle Draft League this year, anyway, is Nat Dex, which is real cool, interesting, different thing. So, that's something that I couldn't join, really, because I don't have the head for it. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. The draft teams look very different across the two different leagues. There are a couple of Pokemon that got picked in both leagues. Like, pick one for... The first two picks in both leagues were exactly the same. Chen Pao went first, followed by Dragapult.
Yep, of course.
Iron Valiant got grabbed in Toad's Cruel, which is the one league. Garchomp got taken third in Toad's Cruel. Some interesting things went early. Shark grabbed Cyclizar instead of something to use behind it.
Interesting. Okay.
And eventually built the rest of the team around from there. We've got some real interesting plays. P-McGee is running Roaring Moon and Zerera Aura, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with that.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's very interesting to see these Pokemon. It'll be interesting to see them in full context of all of the different Pokemon. It's very easy with how the games are sectioned off to have a Pokemon like, I don't know if in full Nat decks Chen Pao is banned. It's extremely strong. It's extremely usable. I don't know if it's that much better than other existing options, or if it can't be outplayed differently. So, I actually prefer the little segregate. It's basically pre-bank OU forever, and I'm okay with that. I like those metas.
Mm-hmm.
You miss Gen 6 pre-bank.
I like Gen 7 pre-bank a lot, actually.
I do. That's probably my favorite, honestly, it's probably my favorite OU has ever been.
My only problem with it was that it, Showdown was broken for it and kept allowing Rapid Spin Tentacruel. And it was like, and because there were no Rapid Spinners, so.
Yeah, you couldn't breed it in the chain. It's like all the sync. I got hit with a Synchronoise off of a Jolteon. I went, first of all, why are you doing that? And second of all, you shouldn't be allowed to.
Exactly.
For your information, Linian, Chien Pao is, in fact, banned in Nat decks, as are a lot of interesting other things, like Ursaluna, Walking Wake.
Okay, that one makes sense with actual Sunsetter. I guess they have Heatran.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, this is to say that Draft is going to be very interesting this year. I'm surprised, looking at the Draft board, what didn't get taken specifically... Man, Sun basically didn't get picked up till the end. So someone walked out with Walking Wake, and I think Ninetales might have been the other one. But Torkoal. Yeah. And Electric Terrain. So you know how Tapu Koko was always really good?
Oh, no. Uh-huh.
Now you can do full Electric Terrain support and then have Pokemon filling other types too.
Yuck. Okay.
For instance, in my league, Snacker took Tapu Koko first pick and followed up with Iron Treads, Iron Moth, and eventually Iron Jugulus.
The Iron Everything.
Yeah.
If Tapu Koko ever comes back to Gen 9, it'll be disgusting. I don't think it'll
be gross. I hope it doesn't.
I don't think it will.
I think if I was doing this, I would have grabbed Sun just because that has more support. But man, it's hard to beat Electric Terrain with some of these mons. Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, all right then. I think that's a good place to stop.
Heck yeah.
We do have a Pokemon of the episode, so get ready for that, fam. But all right, if you want more topic, listen next week. Until then, we're going to kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 100, Voltorb, the Sphere Pokemon. Hisuian Voltorb, the Sphere Pokemon.
An enigmatic Pokemon that happens to bear resemblance to a Pokeball. When excited, it discharges the electric current stored in its belly, then lets out a great uproarious laugh.
Wow.
If you don't know what game that's from, think real hard.
It's Electric Grass, and it's a Voltorb. And because we did Voltorb, you know it's a little cup team today.
Woo!
Voltorb is actually really fast, though, with a base 100 speed, it turns out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hisuian Voltorb has the exact same stats as, like, regular Voltorb, by the way.
I thought it had less attack, more special attack.
Nope, no difference. They're exactly the same. The only difference is that it's also a grass type. That is the only difference. 40 HP, 30 attack, 50 defense, 55 special attack, 55 special defense, 100 speed. 100 speed is very good in Little Cup, turns out. Puts you in that 20 speed tier, which not a lot of things have because Elekid's not around in Little Cup anymore, it turns out.
It got banned?
No, it just... doesn't exist right now.
Oh, right. It got Shadow Realmed.
What's an Elekid?
Yeah, exactly. It's not... Well, to be fair, we don't know what an Elekid is, but that's only if you're in Galar.
Does Ramos have an Elekid?
No, Ramos does not. Not today. He might have a Hisuian Voltorb, though. Yeah, so Hisuian Voltorb. I mean, the move pool is fun because, like, regular Voltorb's move pool kind of sucks. And then they're just like, oh, hey, do you maybe want grass type moves? And you're like, yeah, kind of. Like, anything would help. And so you get grass type moves. So we've got a little cup team for you guys today because there's a lot of fun little cup stuff. Obviously, we have Hisuian Voltorb. It's holding Eviolite because you don't need to hold anything else. The ability is static, which is actually really fun because a lot of things are physical in Little Cup and you will paralyze them.
Wow.
Yeah. Terra type ice, because you do still need coverage, and it would appreciate it. 36 HP, 36 defense, 236 special attack, 196 speed. This maxes out your special attack and speed in Little Cup. And then they're just like, yeah, we'll just make it as bulky as we can because you please don't want to die. We're running Timid Nature because we got to go fast. You hit Little Cup is really fun with speed tiers because it's literally just like, what number do you have between 12 and 20? And there's like 8 speed tiers. It's very easy. And so you've got Thunderbolt, Volt Switch, Giga Drain, and Terra Blast, which is really nice with the ice type coverage. I've been playing with this team a little bit. This team itself has like some issues that we can talk about later. And maybe a lot of that's just like my playstyle doesn't mesh with it. But that's something else. And then I'm just going to go back up to the top from here. I won't go up from the top from here. I'm going to go straight up and go to Drifloon, which is a star in Little Cup currently. It holds the Orin Berry. It has the Unburden ability, so it can go fast. Its Terra type is flying because the only attack you have is acrobatics. 116 attack, 84 defense, 84 special defense, 196 speed, Jolly Nature. Will-O-Wisp because you want to nerf something maybe right in front of you. Defog because you actually have no other hazard removal on this team. Acrobatics because when you eat your Orin Berry and you're going fast, it's really good to have a base 110 attack. And Memento just in case you want to seppuku yourself to nerf your opponent. That is a Drifloon. It is literally what it does. Sometimes it'll run Hex. And that is it. Drifloon does what Drifloon does. All right, somebody take two more.
Sure, I can do the next two. So keeping on going with the team, we've got a little baby Gible holding an Eviolite, as I guess everything does in Little Cup.
Not everything.
Its ability, almost everything.
Life Orb is very prominent.
That makes sense.
Life Orb is very prominent.
Anyway, this one's holding an Eviolite. Its ability is Rough Skin, its Terra type is Steel, and the EVs are 136 HP, 80 attack, 236 defense, and 20 speed. It's got an impish nature, so we've got a tank Gible, and its moveset is Stealth Rock, Outrage, Earthquake, and Stone Edge. Your tank chomp, but low tier.
It's pretty fun. The only problem with it is, like, Fairy-type Pokemon aren't unheard of in that tier.
Yeah,
so you can't just spam Outrage. Diglett got banned, well, because of Arena Trap recently, but Alolan Diglett didn't get banned.
Huh.
So I've noticed a lot of Alolan Diglett lately. And the Gible wins the 1v1, which is kind of nice.
With the 30 defense, as we talked about earlier, that doesn't surprise me.
Yes, exactly. It wins the 1v1, so that's kind of nice. It's got that going for it.
Mm-hmm. Moving on up, though, we've got Wingull holding Eviolite, of course. Its ability is Hydration, and Terra type is Ground. EVs are 36 HP, 36 defense, 156 special attack, 36 special defense, and 236 speed. So it's teeny tiny bit bulky, but mainly it's going to special attack and speed. Got a Timid Nature with Hydro Pump, Hurricane, Knock Off, and Roost. A fast water type special attacker that can heal itself. Very good.
Yay.
Wingull.
I've Sea Breeze. I've got two Pokemon. First off, we got Shrutal. It's a Shrutal. It's got a grassy seed with the ability Unburden. Don't worry, we'll get to how it's procking that later. It's Terra Fighting with 236 attack, 36 special attack, and 236 speed with Swords Dance, Terra Blast, Gunk Shot, and Knock Off. It's here to beat things to death, and it's fairly good at that.
Shrutal's actually really good in Little Cup, because like even the Prankster sets are really good too.
Yeah.
So Shrutal just does things. and it's good.
Do you
at
think
it.
That the guy who designed Shrudel just took the kid's drawing off the fridge because he was behind a bit and just submitted that as his design?
I can Shrudel, use you.
Shrudel is the only Pokemon that I'm just that like Gen 8. I think almost all the Pokemon slapped.
Yeah. Then at, there's this,
and then Gen 9
I want to slap. Yeah.
And then Gen 9 happened, and it's like, what happened in between?
I think Gen 9 did amazing, personally.
Overall, I like a lot of them, but there are a couple just whiffs.
Palmo and Palmot don't both need to exist.
No, it's just, they're both Palmo.
One's just French.
No, that's how I see it sometimes, but then Sigma explained it to me as Marmot, and I'm like, oh.
No, that's wrong.
That's not nearly as funny and lazy as I thought it was.
No.
Look, I enjoy one of them being French, because then I don't feel bad when I hit it.
Yikes.
All right, so Grookey is the last Pokemon. Told you we'd explain how it's procking at Grassy. See, with its ability, Grassy Surge. It is Terra Grass with 236 attack, 36 special defense, and 236 speed with Wood Hammer, Drain Punch, Knock Off, and U-Turn.
Because Grookey couldn't go fast with Grassy Glide anymore, they just gave it a Choice Scarf.
Ha ha.
It still gets Grassy Glide, I thought.
No.
No.
Oh.
Nothing gets Grassy. Nothing gets any of the tutor moves except for, like, one thing, which is
Sarah Ledge.
Armor Rouge with Expanding Force. Yes. I think that is the only tutor move from Isle of Armor that made it over.
Nope. Flip Turn on Palafin.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's true too.
And Dual Wing Beat on Kilowattrol?
Yeah, something got Dual Wing Beat. That is true.
Not many things, though.
No. By and large, they were deleted.
They definitely lowered distribution. I wouldn't be surprised if they open it back up in DLC to some extent.
Yeah, or whatever they come up with tutor moves this time.
They could just give us new moves. I am not here for it, but they could.
Okay, so more things got Dual Wing Beat than I thought. Salamence, Kilowattrol, Bombardier, and Slitherwing.
Oh, okay.
The tutor moves did survive a little bit, from my understanding. They definitely some of them survived. Their distribution is definitely lowered, but they do exist.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Burning Jealousy didn't make it, I don't think. But yeah, there's most of them made it in one form or the other.
Yeah.
I think Grassy Glide also got cut. It was just cut.
It got, its power got nerfed. So that's how I know, that's why I thought it was still in.
It did get reduced. I don't know who has it then.
Yeah, because it got cut to 60 base power.
Yeah, I don't know who has it. We'll see, I guess. We'll see if it pops up ever again. All right then. Well, that's the team. If you want it as a patron, we can give them out to you. I made a bot. Hopefully it's stable while I'm on vacation. You will see these teams, that team and the team from last week, all together on the Patreon by the time this show comes out, probably way before the show comes out. So please enjoy it while you can. Until then, though, guys, we are going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves, nay, clatter.
And as always, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody who's deemed worthy. The mailbag segment, though, for those of you who are unaware, which is usually the thing I say before that, is where you can send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we will probably read it on the show. So let's go ahead. Last week, we asked you guys what you thought of the Pokemon Home update, and I'm sure some of you are going to email in on Friday and Saturday after the show is recorded.
Sorry.
With really good inspiration and ideas, but we don't have those right now. So we got a couple emails this week. Our first one is going to be from GG Platinum. Hi, Puckle. GG underscore Platinum here. I think Pokemon Home is a good concept, but we need Game Freak to push the updates out to Home quicker. I don't agree with what the complexity of what they gave us out of this Home update, that they could have done it faster. They were trying to, like, there's a lot of balls in the air that happened to, like, allow for the backwards compatibility.
And the multiple layers of backwards compatibility, like things will reset their abilities going to the, like, it's, whew.
At first I was like, wow, this is really complicated. But then I'm like, no, they need to do that if they like want to future-proof it.
Exactly.
They have to do these ability resets because, like, imagine if we had another, like, levitate to curse body Gengar issue again.
Exactly.
Like, they have to do that. Like, they just have to do that. It makes sense. They also need to add the trade stuff to the Switch and add a battle stadium, which that just talked about before. I think leaving the trade stuff on home is perfectly fine. I don't think surprise trade needs to be anything else. and I don't think GTS ever again needs to be on a video game.
Hey, Thatch, do you want my Caterpie? Could I have your Dialga?
Yeah, right. Can you give me a level 9 Dialga for my shiny Caterpie? Actually, you can do level... Dialga's a really bad example. You can get level 9 Dialgas.
I just meant the Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good, cheap service, but I want to see improvements. More frequent updates and less incompetence on Game Freak's part. Wow, really burning Game Freak. First of all...
They're not even the ones who make it.
I know. It's Ilka.
This is one of the few times... It's not their fault, my dude.
Yeah, this one is like, this isn't them. The performance of Scarlet and Violet still not being fixed 6 months after the game came out, like, that's still them.
Yeah, this isn't.
This is not them. I'm saying this because of the whole BDSP situation with Spinda. Oh, yeah, Spinda's, like, dots get moved around. So I guess if you're, like, emotionally attached to your Spinda, it's going to get moved, the spots will get moved around.
I thought it wasn't even allowed to transfer in.
They didn't code it properly.
They didn't code it to generate off the standard pattern. So when it goes into an ecosystem that does...
Oh, wow.
It's because the way to generate Spinda's pattern has changed over the generations as well.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have all of the ways in there to generate Spinda's pattern. Only like one, maybe two of them. And so like some Spinda just don't come out right. But yeah, it's a time. There's a whole thing on like the PK Hex server about it because they're trying to figure it out. It's really weird.
Spinda living decks win?
But yeah, that's it. That's all for this week. Have a good day, GG Platinum. Could you imagine doing that? A Spinda living decks and finding dupes?
You'd have to have 100. You'd have to have 100 Pokebank accounts.
And being like so frustrated after like Spinda number 9,000.
I'm missing 5.
You're going to have, like, 2, and then you're going to find the one you need, but it's shiny.
Oh.
Nah.
So it doesn't match the others.
Do you do it by pattern, or do you do it by shiny?
Well, now I got to do the shiny Spinda living decks.
There is not money or items in the... There's nothing in the world you could do to convince me to even attempt that.
There are 3,945,136,128 different patterns. Get to it.
You started saying numbers. I was like, this is a really weird rent redo.
I thought you literally made that number up, but then you ended with the right digits, so you're probably not lying. All right. Well, we got another email today from Zay Paladin. Linian's going to read this one.
Yeah, what it do, Puckle Crew? I hate that stuck. I'm not going to lie.
I love it.
This is going to be a salty email about home. The salt in question comes from the continued exclusion of Tentacruel from Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Yes, we have the amazing regional forms of Toadschool and Toadscruel in the game, but that's not why I'm here. I've grabbed my proverbial pitchfork to blast this cruel, unusual punishment of the best water poison line. In the base game of Scarlet and Violet, Dugtrio is featured in the Pokemon Pokedex alongside its cousin Wugtrio. Tentacruel, oddly, was not. This is fine, I told myself. The other Pokemon with regionals weren't readily available in the game unless you had some select encounters with NPCs. Surely I could wait until home drops and we get access to the other regionals and variants. I waited patiently like a child waiting for Santa to deliver his presents on Christmas Day. Only on Christmas Day, I came downstairs to find out everyone else got their presents and somehow Santa forgot mine. I checked the list not once, but not twice, and saw that every other form had an existing line in Scarlet and Violet made their way into the problem. Made their way in no problem. Galarian Slowbro... You're in. Alolan Dugtrio, you're in. Wooper, hi. But poor old Tentacruel, nowhere to be seen. I guess getting a Tentacruel regional triggered some monkey's paw style wish somewhere. Like Icarus, I should have known better. Especially since we apparently need Mycelium Might to keep the powerhouse that is Toadscruel in check. Yes, I know that outspeeding 75% of mons with Spore would actually be oppressive. All jokes aside, I'm actually very happy that we... with what we've gotten so far. I'm excited to try some of the new Hisuian mons out for the next VGC series, and I'm enjoying shiny hunting Hisui and Growlithe with some help from Rotted. Even without Tentacruel, I get to look forward to the hope that maybe in the next DLC or home update, he might make an appearance. Till next time, Zay Paladin, the Toadscruel Enjoyer. Oh, the Tentacruel Enjoyer.
Tentacruel, how dare you?
I mean, the reason it didn't happen, so one, I think this is the reason we got like convergent evolutions, is so that one, they don't have to worry about inputting every Pokemon that has a form. That's why it exists. Like that, they're just trying to like rip the Band-Aid off very slowly. That's why it's happening. Like,
and then the other
thing is that Toadscruel probably weren't the ones that were supposed to be there, because they're labeled as like Magikarp 1 and Gyarados
at first. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, it sounded like they're supposed to be convergent evolutions of Magikarp and Gyarados instead of
But for some reason, they weren't released in time.
But instead, we got like way better things. So
we don't know what we missed. We cannot come to that conclusion.
I absolutely can come to that conclusion. Have you seen Toad's Cool Run? There is nothing better. There is nothing better.
Yes, and I hate it. Loathe. The other thing to note is that all of those Pokemon share dex numbers. That's
yes.
It.
Yeah.
So we'll probably see it in the DLC, because there's one that's underwater and Tentacool's easy. Like, you don't have to worry about Tentacool bricking a game.
Hashtag spoilers is probably coming. So so it's probably coming. more than likely. If anything is to be relied upon ever, it'll probably be there. All right. But Zay Paladin, in my book, gets the badge this week.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. If you want to email us next week, let us know what you think of the recent updates in the video game, whether it be OU, VGC, or anything in between, or ask questions about it so we could do an episode on how to get into it. We'll definitely do that. I know we got one for a TCG episode for next time. So
yeah.
Mm.
I am very excited to do that. So even if it's for TCG, please send it in. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Of course, if you would like to hang out with us throughout the week, though, the best way to do that is come to our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Additionally, you can check out our YouTube channel at YouTube.com/PucklePodcast. Sigma's doing some stuff there. I do plan on streaming once I'm back from vacation. Like, that's happening. I'm doing it again. I'm ready. My body is ready.
Woo!
We're going to do global Nuzlocke stuff. It's going to be fun. And then we're also going to... we're going to just do a bunch of fun stuff. If you want to support the show, best way to do so is go over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. Or if you are addicted to cardboard like Seth and I.
Emmy, different cardboard, but you know.
I'm addicted to multiple cardboards.
Well, if you're addicted to any cardboard, in all honesty, this counts for you too, Lenny. If you go to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout, you get a 5% discount, and we get a little bit of a kickback from that. So we appreciate the support from anybody who is willing to do that. But yeah, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Seth Vilo.
I'm Linian.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
It's closing time. Farewell, my friend. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.